John 15, 1 through 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anybody does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you will bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other.
I'm Ken L. Nafsiger, Vice President for Student Life and Dean of Students, and I'm privileged this morning to introduce our two speakers, Brian Martin Burkholder and Lana Miller. Brian Martin Burkholder has served as University Campus Pastor and Director of Campus Ministries here at EMU since August 2003. Brian was raised in the United Methodist Church. He currently is a member of Community Mennonite Church in Harrisonburg. He previously served as an elementary school teacher and school counselor, as well as program director of Amigo Center in Sturgis, Michigan. While earning his MDiv degree at Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary, Brian served as interim campus pastor at Goshen College, that other one out there in Indiana. He's an experienced worship and music leader, enjoys leading and participating in retreats, thrives in chaplaincy-related roles, and if you'll pardon the pun, he gets a real kick out of contra dancing. Brian loves the outdoors, hiking in beautiful natural settings, gardening, and almost anything to do with water. You don't have to sit way back. I don't think he'll throw any water on you today. You can always come in close. Lana Miller recently began as undergraduate campus pastor at EMU in August 2013. She was raised Mennonite and continues to worship with a congregation that's part of Mennonite Church USA. Lana began her professional career in the field of education as a high school biology and chemistry teacher, and since then has been a youth pastor, curriculum writer, teacher in spiritual formation, and youth ministry convention planner for Mennonite Church USA. She's also been a regional representative for Mennonite Central Committee in Southeast Asia, along with her husband, Andy. Her journey has led her to encounter many experiences, people, and places, but her heart remains in spiritual formation, being a nurturing pastoral presence for those discerning how to embody their Christian faith. Lana earned her MDiv degree from Eastern Mennonite Seminary, and so this morning, we're looking forward to hearing them as they present on the topic related to the scripture just read, "Love one another as I have loved you." Please join me in giving a loving and heartfelt welcome to Brian and Lana.
As the parent of a two-year-old who's sitting right over there, sometimes my husband and I have interesting conversations, theological conversations about children's songs, What are they really saying? What are they teaching our child? My nieces changed the lyrics to the ever popular Jesus Loves the Little Children of the World from red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight, to red and yellow, pink and green, strangest kids you've ever seen. Jesus loves the little children of the world. So it might not surprise you to know that we've had several conversations on this song, Jesus Loves Me. So the only way you know Jesus loves you is because the Bible tells you so? Or Jesus loves me? Isn't that kind of narrow-minded or self-centered? But as I was thinking about the scripture, the theme scripture for this year, it seems like Jesus loves me might be the perfect starting place. The scripture that Aaron read says in several different ways that Jesus loves us just as God loved him. And the same love that we experience from Jesus is what we're supposed to give to others. That as God's disciples, we're supposed to display God's love. But the problem is that first we need to know Jesus' love. And sometimes, at least for me, this has been one of the most difficult things for me to know, that Jesus loves me. How do you know that Jesus loves you? Last week, Aaron, our two-year-old, went to daycare for the first time. That morning before going, as soon as he got out of bed, he said, "Mama, Mama, please don't make me go. Don't make me," with huge tears coming out of his eyes. I don't know how it went to drop him off at daycare. I made Andy do it. But what I do know is the report that I got when he was picked up. He said, "Dada came for me." And he ran and he gave him a big hug. Ken probably knows more about this than I, but many psychologists talk about attachment theory, and they suggest that children need caregivers who are available and responsive to their needs. That in providing for a child like this, you help them to develop a sense of security. A security that helps them want to go out and explore the world around them, and this is how children feel loved and cared for. And at times, this is how God has been a caregiver for me. Available and responsive to my needs. Not like Santa Claus, not always in the way that I think, but present. And for this, I know that I'm loved. How do you know that Jesus loves you? Another story. A week before Andy and I were to be married, and keep in mind I was 30 years old, I told him, "I'm not sure that I want to get married. I mean, if I wanted to get married, I'd marry somebody like you. But I'm just really not sure about this. I like being single, I know what to expect, it's easy, and I'm not exactly sure what married life's going to be like." And then I said, "Do you ever feel this way?" And he looked at me with a blank stare and he said, "No." But he was patient, he listened, he let me get out all of my fears and anxieties and process out loud like I do. And I knew that he loved me. I trusted him to care for me. And sometimes, this is how I experience God's love. Patient, evoking trust, listening. And sometimes I experience God's love best when I listen, when I'm quiet. In this passage that was read, Jesus says, "Abide in me. Listen to me. Stay connected to me, and you will know my love." Just as I have experienced God's love, so you can experience my love. You are chosen. You are loved. It's not always easy, as I said before, to know that we're lovable or worthy of God's love. But just as the song says, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. Each of us, created in the image of God, chosen to be connected to God, the vine, the true vine, and loved. And when I believe that I am loved for who I am, it makes all the difference. And when I believe that I'm loved and I look out at all of you, I also know that each of you are loved too. And when I believe that each of you are also loved, it changes everything.
So I've been walking with this theme, love one another as I love you, for several months. I had to be ready to get the t-shirts printed for the MAs and PAs. Have you seen the t-shirts? Some are wearing them. Maybe stand and show them. Christina, Amanda, who else? Love one another. T-shirts. That way you know the students working with campus pastors to minister here on campus. And through this season of heightened awareness about loving others as Jesus loved, I've noticed a few things, made a few connections. I call this practical theology. It's a theology that some of us who are more relational or maybe extroverts or social or intuitive find easier to practice than the more intellectual pursuits. About this time, 1 year ago, as we were launching the planning for the first newly shaped Martin Luther King Day of Service and Learning and envisioning the EMU community engaging in service in the northeast neighborhood of Harrisonburg. It's a historic black community that continues to be a racially and ethnically diverse neighborhood. I and others on the planning team were challenged by a response from a thoughtful and caring faculty member. Is the northeast neighborhood asking for help? Does the northeast neighborhood want us to come to their neighborhood to serve? Are we setting up a situation where we do feel-good, yet cheap service, or are we going to build relationships? These were incredibly great and helpful and challenging questions in our process. Questions that insisted that we take care in planning for this day of service and learning in such a way that community would be broadened and strengthened through relationship building. I had to humbly admit, as I considered my own time, 10 years here in Harrisonburg as campus pastor at EMU, that although active in the community, mostly here on campus and in my congregation and with Virginia Mennonite Conference and related groups, I had never partnered with a local African American community leader on any project or ministry in those 10 years. Never. I'd only met a few. It was time for that to change. One could say it was time for EMU to reach out in a new way to build authentic relationship with those leaders representing the Northeast Neighborhood Association, NENA. Perhaps you've heard of them. Now, EMU had been partnering for quite some time. Multicultural services almost always connected with NENA about the time of preparing for February, Black History Month. And speakers would come to campus and students would go to churches, but mostly that was happening within a small circle, multicultural services directors and student leaders. Our first approach as a committee was to invite members of the Northeast Neighborhood Association to serve on the planning committee for the Martin Luther King Day of Service and Learning. We also invited representatives of the United Way of Harrisonburg and Rockingham County. In this way, we were not planning for, but were planning with. And the results of this posture of preparation paid off in receiving genuine invitations to serve and learn in places such as our community place, the Sims Center, Harriet Tubman Cultural Learning Center, and Tyrone Sprague's downtown barbershop on the sixth floor of, I think it's 1 or 2 South Main. As a result of our shared work with the MLK Day of Service and Learning, Stan Macklin, an alum of our seminary and also one of 2 black businessmen who are downtown, Tyrone Sprague, the barber, is the other one. He invited me to join an initiative to name or rename something of significance in the city of Harrisonburg for the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And through this good work, I learned to know many more African-American citizens and leaders here in Harrisonburg. I heard their stories. Stories of having had their neighborhood torn up and fragmented through R4 rezoning efforts. I heard that making up only 7 to 8% of the city population, African Americans feel as if they have little collective voice or influence on city policy. Once the task force selected Cantrell Avenue as the preferred street to be renamed, I learned more about segregation of services at the old Harrisonburg High School at one end of Cantrell and the original Rockingham Memorial Hospital, now part of JMU, both located on Cantrell, such that black boys and girls were not welcome at school, and pregnant African-American women who were in labor were kept in the hallway until the very moment they were about to deliver their children, for there was only one delivery room in the segregated or separate hallway designated for them. Things have changed over the years, and for that we're grateful. But it was clear to me that these brothers and sisters would benefit even now from having advocates and companions in their struggle toward empowerment, and I don't think that's overstated. It might be, but I don't think so, after having heard their stories. People who are interested enough to listen to their stories, to learn from their struggles, to celebrate their achievements, to walk together in shared purpose for the well-being, not only of one neighborhood and a people that it represents, but the entire community. Is this not love in the way of Jesus? Love one another as I have loved you. A few weeks ago in the faculty staff conference, Ken J. Nafziger led us in worship and drew us into Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40. I'll read a bit in a minute, but some of you will know the passage. Many people teach this and think of it as a passage about separating the sheep from the goats. Those who are in and those who are out. Truly, there is judgment in this passage, but there's so much more found there, and I'll read just a bit. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. And then the king will say to those at his right, come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. And it goes on from there. Now, Ken suggested that this passage lays out for us Jesus' benchmarks of compassion, giving food, drink, welcome or shelter, clothing, care, presence. Love one another as I have loved you. Is this not the loving in the way of Jesus? And the John 15 passage that we had a bit ago in the service, in it, Jesus asks even more of us. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends, to sacrifice that of the personal, the selfish, the individualistic for others with whom you are in relationship. You are my friends if you do what I command you." Well, it sounds like Jesus expects us to live a life well beyond our selfish needs and individual desires. That's clear. If loving one another is part of the kingdom way of living, the very dream of God for the world, we do well to seek out what it means and to strive to live accordingly. Now, Lana and I could spend all or most of our time this coming week studying Scripture, prayerfully discerning, talking with others who are on a similar path, and bringing back next Friday a clear list of how we must love one another here in the context of the EMU campus community, in the broader community, indeed in the world. But if we were to do that, it would rob each one of you of the formational path of seeking the meaning of love one another as I have loved you, yourselves, and in community, discerning together, seeking out through Scripture, prayer, and conversation in the community. It would rob us of the opportunity for the community to be shaped by a shared journey of seeking God's way of loving. So instead, we urge you, each one here, to embark on the journey of discerning what Jesus means when he says, "Love one another as I have loved you." This is our shared work. It's a theme that will continue to come in chapel and for the Spiritual Life Week this fall. We'll do our part. Will you join us in this journey?